My husband said that we have already gone over the 2,000 mark for Mother's Memorial, and that's really great. And our Save Our Children offering, I think he said until, oh, I guess that was March 31st. No, April. April 30th. Okay. And Sunday school is at 10 o'clock, 9:30 prayer. Worship at 11 o'clock, and after service, we will have Mother's Memorial Bake Auction or auction. Okay? So come prepared. I can't believe it's already the 1st of April. Doesn't really look like it outside, but, you know, as Lily was singing before church, you know, Lord, bring the summer. We like the summer. It's always summer in Florida, but we live in Alaska. But God can bring the summer pretty quick. Well, I am thankful for Sister Donna Nichols and for her willingness to be used of God. And I know that the Lord has given her something tonight that we need to hear. And I am looking forward to it. Sister Donna, please come. And we will pay attention to you. And we will have open hearts to hear and to receive what God has for us tonight. You may be down there with us with that squeaky thing.
No squeaky thing.
No, I'm going to do this one.
Okay. With the sinking.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, if someone's watching online, they can still see me just fine. Sister Becca said that as long as I stayed in the middle, I would be gone. I would be good. I might be gone, too. No, I'm not going to be gone. I'm not going anywhere. But with this group that we have tonight, I just felt like I wanted to just sit here and share what the Lord has put on my heart. Because I can't quite get away from this theme. I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. I was saying to someone earlier that I guess I am not, I've said this about another theme. Yes, when I taught about Jonah the second time it came around in Sunday school. It's like, I guess I didn't learn enough about Jonah the first time. And I guess I haven't learned enough about this yet. So please forgive me if I'm the only one that's supposed to be listening to this. But I just can't quite think that it's just me. I think that the Lord has something to say. So let's pray. Help us, Lord, as we hear and receive your word tonight, God. Emphasis on hearing, Lord. Yes, that we're going to really, really hear your words tonight. And God, that they would become a part of us, Lord, the deep in our hearts and our minds and in our spirits and a part of our everyday life. And we give you glory and honor and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. So Sunday, Monday, I can't remember. But I was letting my husband know that I was speaking tonight. And he said, oh, okay, well, that's good. And I know that you'll do a good job and all of that. And his typical comments, and I said, but I really don't have, I don't really have anything in mind at the moment, and I haven't really heard anything, and so I said, and I thought about it for about 10 seconds,
And then I turned around and looked at him and I said, "What's on your mind?" And he thought about it for a few more seconds than it took me to ask him. And he said, "What about ears to hear?" I thought, okay, all right, we'll go there. And so I thought, all right, Lord. And that's where it came to me. Lord, I guess I haven't had enough of this yet. Because it's been mentioned several times over the pulpit now, and not that it was anything, well, it's always fabulous with the Lord. But when Pastor and Sister Glover were gone, and I believe it was the last Thursday night that they were gone, and Pastor had asked me to share the word. And I could not get away from the thought of that that the woman with the issue of blood, and how that she had touched him. Not him, just the hem of his garment. And so you know, tonight we're going to go back there just a little bit. And then the last time I was in Kenai, the Wickers, for some odd reason, they all ran away. Bless Bethany's heart. And bless that marriage and all that God is going to do in that. And then, and their assistant, you know, they were gone too. So it's like, okay, where'd everybody go? But and Pastor said, you know, pick a Sunday. And so I said, okay, well, I'll take this Sunday. And the Lord asked me to talk about, and let me try to go back here and look at the title. And I talked about, what do I see? And referencing that we have sight. And all of us sitting here have sight. But do we see? Okay. Lord, yeah. So tonight, Becca asked me, and I did originally title this Ears to Hear, but it morphed out of that, and I gave Becca the title Our Senses. We are born, hopefully, with five senses. And if we don't have one of those senses, then our other senses are heightened. And if we cannot hear, then we can see things. And we feel things. And you know, whichever sense you don't have, the others are more important. And they reach out and try to make up the gap that we're missing. And I don't know, it's been a little over a year or so ago, I picked up a new book on my Audible account. And I really like this author. And if you ever want to talk about one of her other books, I am really into that one too. But Gretchen Rubin she does a series of podcasts in that called The Happiness Project. I don't know if you've heard of it or not, but the first book I read of hers is called The Four, now I'm not going to remember the name of that one, but The Four Tendencies, that's what it is. And how do we deal with expectations, all right? And I like personality type studies in that, and maybe some of you do also. But then she came out with a book called Life in Five Senses. And she spent a year or so of her life really paying attention to her senses. Did she really see what was around her? Did she really hear what was able to be heard? Did she really pay attention to what she was tasting? Did she recognize the smells that were around her? And when she touched something, did she really feel it? And so this book is talking about life in five senses. And I got to thinking about that. God gave us these senses to go through life with. I've worn corrective lenses most all of my life. I think I got my first pair of glasses when I was 4 or 5. And I did go through a period of time without glasses, not because I didn't need them, but because I think my family forgot that I wore them. I don't really know. I cannot make a supposition on that. Probably they couldn't afford them. And then I was a teenager, and all of a sudden, glasses had to become a very important part of my life again. And it's funny. It all came about from turning 14 and being old enough to go hunting. And my dad realized very quickly, and I realized very quickly, that I could not keep a sight picture through a scope long enough to pull a trigger. Because you're concentrating and and all of a sudden, it's not there anymore. And I have nothing to do with it. And so we're going to see if you need glasses. And yes, I do. And I have something, I think it's called strabismus. And it is that I do not have a dominant eye. Both of my eyes tend to be just a titch lazy. And when one gets tired, then the other one takes over being dominant, and vice versa. And so there's a switch in my brain that gets flipped at any moment of any time, and it changes my sight picture. You know, kind of like that, you hold your thumb up and you have it over something, and then you switch to the other eye and your thumb moves. Well, it didn't move, but your perspective moves. And so I started thinking about senses. Now, and I noticed that when I wear earbuds, that this particular ear right here doesn't hear near as well as my left ear. And if I went and got a hearing test, I'm sure that I would, they would be wanting me to do something about that. So our senses are so much, and oh, the sense of taste. I think we all like food. And I like to taste food. Who wants to eat food that you can't taste? And oh, the smells that we can smell. And I know that there are the good ones and the bad ones. And we don't ever want to have a sensitive smell when it's the bad ones. But boy, if it is something that smells good, do we want to smell it? And our smell affects how we taste. Without a sense of smell, you don't taste things like you do if you can smell it. And how can we ignore the touch and what it feels like to have the greatest fuzzy blanket? I mean, or itchy something. Yes. I mean, we are sensitive to touch. And so the Lord started talking to me about all of these. And I've been thinking about them for a couple weeks now. And I thought, well, all right, what is in Scripture? And the one that I didn't think I would really find so much about in Scripture was, I just didn't think that there was a whole lot about smell in Scripture. But there is. And so, see. What can we see? And what does he want us to see? And do we see what he wants us to see? I don't know that we do. We might not have good vision, but with my visual impairments, take these off and everything gets a little bit fuzzy. And I can read everything up there on that screen because it's big enough. But something that's not very big, I can't read very well. And but I have to put these on in order to physically see the things that I would like to see. But if I didn't have sight at all, it doesn't mean that I couldn't see what he wants us to see, what he wants me to see. Because seeing what he sees really doesn't have anything to do with our eyes. Although it might. We need to use our spiritual eyes, Sister Esther. Thank you. No, I want you all to feed into this. I'm sitting down here for a reason. I didn't want to stand up here and do this with just the few of us because I just want to talk to us a little while about this. I don't want to be preachy or whatever. And so I thought about some scriptures, and I didn't look up the reference for this, but each and every one of you are going to know what I'm talking about when I said that Moses, or when I say that Moses wanted to see him. And finally God said, okay, let's do this. And he took Moses, and Moses was on the mountain, and he took him to a place where there was a crack in the rock. And he said, Moses, go in there. And the scripture talks about how that God covered him and said, when I say, then you can turn around and look. And God passed by, however that was. Can think about that. Whatever happened, I don't know. But whatever happened, God took his hand away and said, okay. And the scripture says that only the hinder parts of God could be seen. Now, I suppose I could have spent a whole lot of time and looked that word up and defined it. But we can only see what God allows us to see. We can only see the parts of him that we are allowed to see until we have transformation and we are like him. And then we will be able to see everything like he sees. And so Moses wanted to see him. And then you read about, and we have all read about, I believe it was Simeon at the temple. And Jesus is 8 days old, and good Jewish parents brought him to the temple, and he was being dedicated and named. And Simeon saw what was happening, and he had been promised that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah. Now, how long he had been waiting on that promise, I don't know. He was an old man. And when did he get that promise? I don't know that Scripture actually says when he got that promise. We do know that Anna, the other person on that day, had been a widow in Jerusalem for the majority of her life. And so maybe they both had heard from God around the same time that they would not leave that earth, this earth, their life, until they had laid eyes on the Messiah. They wanted to see him, and they did see him. And then Psalm 63:2 says to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. We want, I hope we want, to see his power and his glory. And so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, in the house of God, and maybe more specifically in the presence of God, that we see his power and his glory. Now, there are lots and lots of scriptures about seeing in the Bible. So I thought, okay, that's probably good enough to give us a perspective there. So I moved on to taste. And I think we all think of, or could all think of, the scripture of Psalm 34 and 8. Says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. He is good. So good that it tastes good. And we are blessed by his presence and being in that connection of tasting in him. And then I looked, okay, well, there's got to be more than that. And there are. Taste is not as prominent as seeing, and not as prominent as hearing, and we'll get there. But taste, in Psalm 119, 103, the psalmist said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Okay, well, I can't eat too much honey. It can get overwhelming. So sweet. But the psalmist said that his word is sweeter than honey. And Lord, if we don't feel that way about your word, please change us. Please change us, that your words are sweeter than honey to my mouth. Touch. I already sort of mentioned that. And the old chorus, reach out and touch the Lord, keeps rolling through my mind every time I think about this. Because I grew up in the church as a teenager, early teenager. And this was a popular song. We sang it a lot because we were trying to get people, well, mom and dad were trying to get people to reach out and let them know that all they have to do is just that little bit. And as he's passing by, or as we're in his presence, all we have to do is just reach just a little bit. We don't have to go three pews. We don't have to go from the back to the front. It doesn't take that much. It's just reaching out and touching him. And then the scriptures that talk about that woman that I mentioned in introducing this, Matthew 9, 20 and 21, says, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years. And if you think about Old Testament law and rules, and the rules around the temple, and even to be in the women's part of the temple, area of the temple, It was at least 12 years that she had never been able to be in the presence of God because she was constantly unclean. And anybody that was around her was unclean. And so it had been 12 years of an issue of blood. And she came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, "If I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole." Okay, think. This is a crowd that was on their way, and I believe it was to Jairus' house, because was it Jairus' house that his daughter was sick? And she sees this crowd coming, and she's heard about Jesus. For some reason, she had the faith to know that if she just believed that if she could just, but I don't want to draw attention. I'm unclean. I can't draw attention to myself. I don't want to touch him. I just want to, just a little bit. If I may just touch his garment, I'm going to be made whole. And we know the rest of the story. She did. She made it through the crowd somehow. And I suppose those that she touched and didn't know who had touched them couldn't know they were unclean. Didn't you kind of have to announce that? Well, as a leper, you did. Or just stay away. Yeah, it's. But she wasn't making any announcements. Hey, wait up! I just need to be done with this. But she did end up stopping the entire procession. And Jesus wasn't freaked out by the scenario. Now we know Jairus was antsy. Come on, come on, come on, come on. We're on our way somewhere. But the whole crowd stopped. And the disciples, when Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" They're incredulous. "What do you mean, who touched you?" There are hundreds, if not more, people right here. Everybody's touched you. That's not it. Because the faith touched him. And then, drop that one right there. Later in the book of Matthew, I thought this was interesting when I was teaching this in Kenai. And in Matthew 14 and 36, it says, "And besought him," the crowd, "besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment." Okay, it became noised abroad. There's a big crowd there. Noised abroad that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Now, the Bible doesn't play with words. Now, I know the translators, and there are not every word is translated just perfectly, but it's been around a long time. Perfectly whole. What is that? Do any of us know what perfectly whole is? No. Every day I get up, I can point out many, many things that are not perfectly whole. But they were made perfectly whole. All right. Smell. This is the one I didn't think would be as prominent. Probably not quite as many scriptures, but if you bring in other words that, yeah, you can get a lot of things. The one situation that I came across almost immediately and had thought about before I even looked it up was the smell, how smell influenced Isaac. When Jacob was deceiving his dad with his mother's help, that amazes me too. Because, I don't know, when you really look at the first three patriarchs in Genesis, the first three that are listed right there, can we say dysfunctional families? Serious. All three of those women were barren. And God opened their wombs. And, you know, and we all, Abraham, you know, choosing one way and then God saying, no, that didn't work. And we're still living with that problem. And then, you know, Isaac has Jacob and Esau, and they were fighting in the womb. And what a mess. And Jacob finally gets the best of his brother at the very end with his mom's help then. And Isaac said in chapter 27, Genesis 27, 27, he said, and he came near, Isaac came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him. And see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. But if you read before that, you would know that it was deception, that the smell was the smell of his firstborn, the smell of the son he loved. Because Jacob didn't smell like that. And we also know that, you know, there was a goat that lent its fur to the deception also, that the back of his neck and his arms were covered with fresh. I knew that I would get that face. That was fresh goat hide. And I've, yeah, been there, not a goat, but been there, done that. And you want nothing to do with that fresh one. It's gross. But smell. And Numbers 15, let's get one that doesn't have anything to do with deception. Numbers 15, 1 through 3, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land of your habitations, which I give unto you, and will make an offering. So you're coming into the land that I'm going to give you, and you're making an offering by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering or a sacrifice in performing a vow or in a freewill offering. It really didn't matter which offering it was. Or on your solemn feast to make a sweet savor or smell unto the Lord from the herd of the flock. And then by reference, because I did look it up, and if you know of one, please let me know. But I did a word search in Bible Gateway, because you can put two different words in the search in Bible Gateway, and it'll bring up every verse that has those two words in it. Okay, and I put, maybe I should have used savor, but I used the word smell. And praise. Because we all relate to the saying that I don't think is in that terminology in Scripture, that our praise draws his presence. And so maybe I didn't search enough, and forgive me if that's true. But every amount of praise that we give comes out of sacrifice in our lives. Because praise is not specifically thankfulness. It's easier to be thankful than to give praise all the time. Because I don't know about you, but I don't always feel like giving praise. And I do know that Scripture in the New Testament talks about, you know, being thankful in everything, not for everything, but in everything, being thankful. So I know that those terms get kind of flipped back and forth a little bit, but it's easier to be thankful than it is to give praise, in my estimation. And so, smell. Our praise is like incense. This sweet savor. And so, we get to this last one that my husband brought to my attention when I asked him. And here. And so I drummed up some words that you relate to here. Well, ear to hear. So the first word, ear. And Exodus chapter 15. And just so you wonder if I forgot that verse that's up there or was up there. No, I didn't forget that one. I'll get there. He said, well, that's the main verse. You should open with that. Well, I'm just turning it all up on its ear tonight. Exodus 15 and verse 26 said, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And I thought, okay, if we can give ear, that's like, so think of this, like sight and seeing, we might hear, but are we listening? And that's what I think of in this verse when we are to give ear. Are we listening? Because hearing is just physiological. We hear or we don't hear. And it's a part of all those little bones on in the inner ear, in your, you know, the cochlea that is the little snail-like thing in the inner ear, and, you know, the little hammer and stirrup, and, you know, that's what we call them. That's not what they're called, but you know what I'm saying. It's the function of, you know, first off, the hairs that are there that if they constantly get mashed down, which is often what causes most of us to have hearing loss, is that we have done something terrible to those hairs in our ears that they don't like to bounce back up and react, because it's the waving that transmits sound into us hearing. And so we are to give ear. And then hear, and hearing, and heareth, and listen, and listening are all words that reference here in talking about, do we hear? Are we listening? Are we paying attention to what's going on around us? Now, if it's, you know, if we had a chalkboard in here and somebody, I trimmed my nails so it wouldn't probably be very squeaky, but we all know what it does, you know, and you get some fingernails going across that chalkboard and we all do, can't stand that. Or the little one, or actually not even little ones, okay, but they have this pitch. Just way up there. Or the dog, that the pitch is just way up here. And we say, you're hurting my ears. Don't use, you know, inside voices. And you don't necessarily say inside voices to someone that has this lower, loud voice. The one, at least the one that I react to the most, is that really up here voice that's just, you're hurting my ears because I can't handle that. And so there's hearing and then there's listening. So when you look at the scriptures that where Jesus says, that he that hath an ear, let him hear. And could we say that he that hath an ear, let him listen? Pay attention. No, Sister Esther, please don't do that, because I think it's important that we get the input. And, you know, you may come up with a better word than I thought of. A word that may make more sense to those of us that are sitting here. And so, not to do that. And so, I just paid attention to the verses in Matthew that says that. And the first one that is recorded in Matthew is Matthew 11 and 15. But you also have the same phrase in Matthew 13, 9 and 18 and 43 in Matthew. And so, again, I only paid attention to Matthew. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4. And then a lot of those same phrases in the same context are in Mark and Luke and even maybe in John. And so I didn't repeat them to, maybe I thought I would, you know, I didn't want to quadruple count. And then where I really find it simply amazing is that every letter to the churches in Revelation ends with, so, Revelation 2 and 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And then he says to him that overcometh, and then he gives his promise. So Jesus was telling us, I think, that if we have ears, and yes, we have physical ears, and those of us here can hear. We might not have perfect hearing anymore, but we can hear. And he's talking to the church. But he's not talking about our physical ability to hear. He's reminding us that, well, whichever church we think we might relate to. Have you ever read these seven and said, oh, that's me right now? And then Jesus said that if you have an ear to hear what? What he just said. Listen and pay attention. And if it applies, then apply it. Because it's important that we are all ready. And so, as I'm winding this down here, I had two questions that came to my mind, and there probably is a lot that I didn't even think of, when I was responding to an ear to hear. I first asked myself, what is he saying? And these churches, he was saying some very specific things about some very specific people that existed at that time, and very specific stages of life that we all go through, because at some point in time in our life, we can relate to any one of these seven. And maybe we could relate to all seven of them in the same day. I mean, seriously, I have that many ups and downs and mood fluctuations in a day that I could relate to any one of them at any time. Hopefully not all of them at once. But what is he saying? And yes, these particular letters to the churches is what we're referencing here, but what is he saying anytime he speaks to us? Yes. What is he saying? And then the next question kind of stepped on my toes. When the thought came to me, what are we missing when we don't hear? I think that the answer to that question is different from day to day and certainly different from person to person. But I can tell you what I do not want to miss hearing. I want to be cognizant enough of his voice and listening for him that I am not going to miss that trumpet. And if I understand that last book in Scripture, there's going to be people that miss it. And unfortunately, there are going to be people that miss it that knew to listen for it at some point in time in their life. They knew what they should be listening for, and they didn't listen in that moment. There's going to be a lot of people that they may hear something out here, but they have no idea what it is. And people in that scenario, and maybe people that missed it and shouldn't have missed it, may have opportunity to make it right. Because I also read in this book, in that last book, that there are a host of people that give their lives. And I think it's chapter 5, somewhere in there, that they, God talks to them and they're under the altar. And the scriptures indicate that they gave everything. Well, what does that mean? That means they gave their lives. And I don't want to get into too much theology in this, but that's the only way after the trumpet sounds that you get to have anything to do with heaven. And we're not even going to think about whether it's before, in the middle, or at the end. Whenever it is, let's be ready. But I do wholeheartedly believe that if you are in that group that have to give their lives, that you are not a part of the bride. Because there's only one way to be a part of the bride and to come back with him in the army. There's only one way to be that way. And others may be in heaven, but they're not the bride. And the best place to be is the bride. That's the closest to the groom. And I want to be as close as I can get. And so I hope today that I said something, that the Lord gave me something that resonated within you. And does God give us each themes? Yeah, I believe he does. I had a talk to a dear friend of mine. I had known her since she was in mid-elementary school. I went to Bible school with her. I went to Bible school with her husband. And she and I were sitting down at breakfast one day in Fairbanks. And I looked across the table at her, and I was talking about my ministry. And I was talking to her about the thought of having a theme. And is that bad? Because we all know people that minister and they always talk about the same thing. And that's not too bad if you're in a different place most of the time. But, you know, as ministering mostly right here, you all would get really tired of me if I opened to the same three scriptures every time I spoke. It's like, oh, here we go again. But repetition's not a bad thing. That's how we learn the most. And my sister shared with me, and this is about repetition and having a theme. And maybe God is speaking about this right now, because this needs to be heard right now. But my dad was talking to someone, and he's new to the position that he has, and he's traveling more than he's ever traveled before and speaking more than he had ever spoken before. And he was talking to my dad, and he knows him really well, and they're great, great friends. And he said, "Brother Reed, I am dying, trying to come up with something new every time I have to speak." And my dad told him, he said, "Brother, when God gives us something to say, we need to say it until he moves us into something else." And so if God keeps talking to us about things, then let's see what he wants us to see. Let's hear what he really wants us to hear. Let's feel the things that he wants us to feel. And the other senses that I'm not thinking of at the moment. Taste, yes. God gave us these senses so that we can really glean everything that is available to us from every different direction in this book. And when he talked to me about seeing, and I talked about having sight but not seeing, I mentioned in that message that are we ready to see what God is going to bring in the door? And how are we going to react to what he's going to bring in? And you can search on the internet for some things that are shocking that we could see. Now, we don't have a whole lot of that running around down here on the peninsula. We have some. But it can be more shocking than that. Just look up the body piercings that are possible. And I'm not even talking about things, the areas that you don't want to see. I'm just talking about parts of our bodies that are visible most everywhere. It's like, seriously? And ouch, yes, Sister Clover, ouch. How do you do that? And there's cultures in this world that it's a sign of beauty, or it's a sign of this, or it's a sign of that, to disfigure their bodies. And you think, how? Why? But each one of those people are souls that God loves. And there are those that were with us that are no longer with us at this very moment. And they don't look like what they used to look like. And so are we really ready to see what's going to come in the door? Are we ready to hear what could walk in the door? Because there are some folks that their language is just not very good. And they don't know very many words. Is that blunt enough? Some people, I think they only know about 10 words. And most of them you don't want to hear. Do we want to touch them? God will touch them. Do we want to touch them? Do we want to see them, hear them, touch them? Oh, do we want to smell them? Maybe not. I just listened to some teaching, and I promise I'm almost done. I was listening to some teaching, and a pastor shocked his congregation, and I'm sure that this has happened more than once in that particular congregation, because he is very into his subject matter. And he has a tradition that he, during the worship, he talks about slowly walking through the congregation. I don't think he has a small church either. So he's just walking around the congregation, slowly around the congregation, and he's greeting people and, you know, glad you're here, and, you know, probably not interrupting people that are worshiping, but, you know, the people that are new. And so he has gotten up in front of his congregation, and he said, you know, the most favorite smell in the church is I love to smell cigarette smoke in the church. And I love to smell alcohol in the church. And then next, my next favorite smell in the church is body odor. Bad body odor. And his congregation is just cannot believe it. But his perspective is that if I smell those things, then there are people here that need him. And the more of it, the better. Because we have to reach. We're supposed to reach. We're supposed to touch. We're supposed to love on. Not be afraid of who walks in the door. Not of what they look like, of what they smell like, of what they say. And if there's the only place that they feel comfortable is they come up here and sit on the floor right there, that's going to be okay. And the story was told that an elder usher left the back and started walking up the aisle, and I got the impression it was a pretty good-sized church. And walked all the way to the front. And heads start nodding all over the oh, yeah, you just go take care of them. Because that's what most people were thinking. And he walked up there, and he very carefully sat down on the floor next to him. Because he was going to touch that man. And God wants us to touch those that he brings in here. Even if it's stretching for us. And we get all caught up in who we think we are. And it isn't just exactly like we think it should be. If we're not careful, we can get indignant. And say, well, that doesn't belong in the house of God. No, that's where it belongs. If there's an ounce of faith that brought that person here, they belong here. No matter who they are, what they look like, what they sound like, what they smell like. If God loves them, we need to love them. So whatever part of this that you're going to be taking home, please take it home and make it a part of you. I know I need to. I need to take every bit of this home and make it a part of me. And I don't want to save this for the wrong reason. But lately, I've been thinking about a conversation that my sister had with me. Not long after mom passed away. And she told me, she said, Donna, you have mom's mantle. And people that knew my mom or knew of her most in the end, or, you know, in the time of her ministry, could say that it had to do with this, what I've just been doing here for a little bit. And I didn't ever ask the Lord for this. I didn't ask for the calling to minister his word. And I didn't ask to speak, and I very seldom ever bring it up. Somebody's going to have to usually always come to me, because I'm just not going to, I just don't put myself out there. I was taught that that wasn't necessarily the right thing to do. But lately, the more I have thought about what Renee told me, because I don't know that I can ever reach that one. But in reality, if you really knew our mom, the real mantle that she had, that's what a lot of people knew her for, is her speaking ability, ladies' conference speaker, you know, the booklets that she wrote, the recordings of the teaching of those booklets, and the beautiful songs that she wrote, and all of those things. And there's so much of that that I've never written a song, not terribly good at singing, like to sing, but I'm not terribly good at it. I don't have a musical bone in my body, although I did try piano lessons for a while, took a whole semester, and I never got past the first song. My left hand and my right hand never coordinated together. And so after that I said, okay, I'm done. But her real mantle, and the one that I really want, is the one that would love on anyone that God put in her life. That is the mantle that I really want. And if you know me good at all, that's not easy. I have to get to know people before I can really interact with them a whole lot. You send me to a conference in thousands of people, and I'm not going to say two words to almost anybody unless I know them. And then I can stand there and I can talk for a while. And so doing this is not me. But Lord, help me learn to really love people that you put in my life. That's the mantle I want. Because that is the most important one, not this. Because it's what we do out there. or in here if it's with someone he's brought into us. Those are the important things. So tonight, come up here if you want to come up here. If the Lord wants you to come up here. And Sister Glover and our Sister Becca, we don't need any music tonight, I don't think. If you want to put something on up there, if somebody we feel like we need it, you can put it on in the back. But I don't want anybody up here concentrating on this. But let's find and spend just a few minutes. Lord, help us to take the words tonight and really make them a part of us. For whatever he has in store for us coming in here, or whoever we come up against or come to that God puts in our hearts and our lives, and just love on them. Might be a year or more. I don't know if we should wait that long now, but it might be a while before we ask them to come here. But if we can just love on people. So I'm going to leave that with you all.